Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr. I have great news for you. All you fellas who suffer through the holiday season when your loved one, your significant other, decides that you should be subjected to at least one holiday Hallmark movie. Usually about an inexplicably single, beautiful woman back in her hometown with some absurdly handsome Christmas tree salesman or something, right? Mm-hmm. And he lives off of that alone.
Blue-collar guy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Always a blue-collar guy.
Who sees what everyone else misses in her. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know these movies. Mm-hmm. Jeff, what are we going to be treated to this year?
Well, this year, we get a movie called Holiday Touchdown.
Hell yeah.
Already sold.
Sorry. In.
It is about that same woman falling in love with that same guy who just happens to work, not play, but he works for the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you want me to read this?
I absolutely excerpt? Do. Okay. I want you to sell me.
Okay.
So we got a Hallmark movie about the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs. If this doesn't... Well, we'll get to it.
Perfect.
So it says... In Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story is the title of the name. It's Holiday Touchdown, you know, a Chiefs love story. Alana Hickman is sure that her family's lifelong history as Kansas City Chiefs superfans makes them the front runner to win the team's, quote, Fan of the Year contest. So Derek, the director of fan engagement, is tasked with evaluating how Alana and her family stack up against the other two finalists. As the pair spend more time together, it's clear there's a spark between them. But when her grandfather's vintage Chiefs good luck winter hat goes missing, Alana begins to doubt everything she believed about fate, destiny, and even questions her future with Derek. Unless, that is, a little Christmas magic can throw a Hail Mary.
Oh, the Hail Mary part at the end.
Let's
man.
Go.
God, I need an insulin shot after that.
There's a missing hat.
Let's do the whole movie here. Yeah. Right. So she's in the contest. They meet. They don't like each other at first.
Oh, of course not.
They can't.
Right? They can't just she spark does, right away.
Right. Well, like
he's too harsh on judging the family.
Yeah. He judges the family a little too harshly. Maybe and she's like, he doesn't understand us. Mm-hmm. And then over time, through some conflict, he starts to see like, oh, I see what makes them super fans. Then he helps them find the hat.
Yes.
But instead of it being that it's going to be a new one. Right, it'll be
you
like,
think so?
Yeah,
it's not the vintage.
Call my shot here.
Here's a free hat from the gift of the Magi kind of thing.
It'll like fall off of Pat Mahomes' head or something, and the new one that like becomes the new, and it's from them, and it takes the place of the old one.
We need a cameo by Chiefsaholic. He's a Chiefs super fan.
From jail.
From jail. He's a Chiefs super fan they're running up against. So he's in jail.
This is like the Taylor Swift effect.
Because it's not like the Taylor Swift effect. It is the Taylor Swift effect.
They had a movie script I did that's like, let's make it football related. Oh, the Chiefs are big because Taylor.
Well, because the Chiefs fan base consists of women now. A ton of women.
Did you see some of the stats that came out? Like there were the viewing audience for Chiefs games is now 47% women.
I didn't know it was that high. Yeah. Whoa. Okay. Yeah. Oh, this is the Taylor Swift effect then. Oh my God. I didn't realize that 40
used to pull it around. I think it was 26% and now it's 47%.
47.
I mean, they all bought Peacock for that one game.
That I do know.
And probably forgot the cancel.
Like what, 24 million?
And you're watching 30 Rock again.
Might as well.
But no, yeah, this is the Taylor Swift effect taking full effect. Because there's no such thing of a Chiefs fan outside of Kansas City. Before Taylor Swift.
Says, this plot summary makes me want to kill myself.
Don't.
It's not funny. Yeah. But we get it. I want to see the new reality show of Bill Belichick and his girlfriend. So do I.
Now that is wild. That's something
I need. You know what I need?
We've already seen one footage.
This is true. One footage. That's
the
right.
Ring camera.
That wasn't awkward at all. One footage. What the hell?
No shirt. Shirtless Bill.
What we need is we need TikToks.
Oh, man.
Of her.
Oh, my goodness.
And him. And it's like asking him, like, what is Riz? Right?
Oh, gosh.
Does Bill Belichick have any idea what Skibbity Toilet is?
Oh, my.
Right?
So,
like this stuff. Because she does.
Of course she does.
She's 24.
Of course.
She knows what all of this is.
Yes. I love you, Bookie. love you, Pookie. Like any of this. Like,
and then
why do I know this?
She's like,
is the
she ate, and he's like, ate what?
And then we need like Bill showing, like, do you know the show? And it's like Gunsmoke.
A cultural exchange between the two of them. That's exactly how that went.
Andy Griffith show.
It's a 50-year gap. Yeah, it's a large. Like when he was 24, like Andy Griffith was on TV. Like
that reminds me of MASH. It's hard for me to imagine Bill liking any shows.
It's hard for me to see Bill talking to a 24-year-old person, period. Let alone former cheerleader.
You know, double football players are 24.
They're not people.
I know they're not people.
Yeah, and did he talk to him? Like, did he actually talk to him, or did he just yell?
Edelman's podcast, by the way, just telling Belichick stories is great.
Oh, my goodness. Between the Belichick stories and the Rainy Wall stories, those are the two best. Like, those are, hey, Edel.
That's right. Hey, Edel. Texture says, Jeff should read movie previews regularly. I'm sold. I agree. We may have to make this like a regular thing.
We need like Lieberman in to rate the review. Wait, like, I want to see this movie or I don't want to see this movie.
But I think with you, Jeff, like it's got to be like maybe just Hallmark movies.
Okay, I could get behind that.
I guess, yeah. Because I feel like on Lieberman's scale, Hallmark movies are really low.
Oh, yeah, I'd imagine so. And he's got very detail-oriented notes about why.
Texas said they picked the Chiefs because the Hallmark is headquartered in Kansas City.
Wow.
Look, they were picking the Chiefs anyway.
Oh, yeah, it didn't matter.
Like that worked out for them, great.
Yeah.
Save on gas, but like they... This thing was going to be about the Chiefs.
Oh, 100%. Like, there was never any doubt. Like, without even knowing that stat that you just said, 47%. I mean, that's a large number. Because you got to think, the number of men either grew or didn't change. So to take over to 47%, that means the number of women
erupted.
Like a lot. Yes, a lot. And that's crazy.
Yeah, because like you said, the men were hate watching the Chiefs or just people that grew up watching the Chiefs. That
or
wanna,
just football.
Yeah.
Like you could be a fan of the Cowboys, but if they're playing the Chiefs, like you're going to watch. But the number of women.
It really is an explosion of people who did not watch
before. No, that's what it is. Yeah. In with all of them being women. Like all, because 47%, I mean, that's a huge number. NFL games get 20 million.
Right. The boyfriends were already watching.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So, oof.
Texture says, is one footage a measure of Bill's chest on that ring camera? He said, we've seen one footage. I don't think I'm going to let you let that one down for a while.
There was missing a word in that sentence.
Texture says, they're going to binge Ozzie and Harriet. They're like, yeah, these are the... What shows did Bill Belichick grow up watching? Like newsreels?
Mary Tyler Moore?
Maude?
Like, what?
He definitely was a Maude guy.
You don't have any idea what Maude is, do you?
No clue. The movie Casablanca.
Gunsmoke was good.
I was saying like war, because Belichick's got good.
Absolutely,
he likes war,
yeah.
Like MASH, yeah. Gunsmoke, definitely some shootouts.
What is that? He likes war. He does. Mario, welcome into the drive, buddy. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
I just had a comment on. I've been listening to y'all for a while. But two things. I had to chime in on the loudness of the stadiums and stuff. And bless my heart, because I'm a Raiders fan.
Same.
But the first time I had ever heard about, I didn't even really know it was a science to those stadiums about how steep and tall they were to project the sound and make the loudest stadium. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was the fans, but I found out back then that a lot of the Denver fans was mad when they left Mile High Stadium and built that new stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wasn't as loud, and part of it was because it wasn't as steep. And they had made it out of iron back in the days, so when they would stomp their feet, it would add to the, you know, just the home field advantage of the sound and everything.
Yeah.
But when you said who's a Kansas City fan, again, being a Raider fan, I didn't know they was really out there. They really humble. But I always run across them when I get wear my Raider hat or shirt. Mm. And then it's always a Kansas City person that will run up to me and say something. I'm like, where y'all come from?
the Dave Mahomes is drafted.
A lot of new merch out there. Yeah, a lot of new merch.
That's it.
I'm speaking about way back when Marty Schottenheimer was the coach.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, man, where y'all come from? But they was real quiet because they hadn't won a Super Bowl or anything. Mm-hmm. But they exist. They was like real humble because like, we're not going to talk until we get that big silver trophy. But now you've seen a lot of them come out beating their chest. They out there, but they real humble people, you know, being from the Midwest and stuff. But now they got a reason to talk they ish, if you know what I'm,
Oh, yeah.
What I mean? Yeah, but now, as you say, that Hallmark is making money off of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that was it. I was all I said because I was like, man, I've been hearing this for over 30 years. I'm like, where y'all coming from? Like, who's from Kansas City? they had a big back, and you know, they was a real good team, but they just never won the big trophy.
Oh yeah,
and you know that's when everybody, jumps on the bandwagon, of course. But they got a real low key humble following. But that was all I wanted to say, man. I just
appreciate
the show.
Thanks,
man.
And,
lovely.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it. That
we'd not use the word humble there.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
No,
sure.
Definitely not anymore.
Right. They've been cured of that.
Yes,
no question.
They have.
Akin to like South Carolina, or the fan bases where like the people are crazy, even though they've never been all that good,
mm-hmm.
and then now they're freaking the best.
Yes.
And so,
like,
ratchet it up even more.
Just imagine if
look
like,
that stadium and that experience for mm-hmm. what it's worth. Like, it is not overrated.
Kansas City.
Yes. Had the privilege of going to a Monday night game when I got started doing the drive, and the ownership, you know, is there.
Mm-hmm.
Flew us out there, me and Locke and Drew went to a Monday night game. Spectacular.
Mm.
I mean, they didn't lie at all. It's nuts. It's very difficult for an NFL stadium to ever feel like a college stadium, just because of the way the emphasis on making money and
yes.
all that sort of thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It is spectacular.
And they talk it up now, and now they have even more to scream and cheer about.
To play them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the
crazy.
Whole football part sucks.
What's so crazy, like, that the whole, like, I'm glad the last Cowboys championship was, like, right when I was born. Because I can't imagine what they would be like if, like, they were the Chiefs. Like, if what Dallas fans would be like if, like, they were the Chiefs right now, because they're insane already. Like, they're the, like, fan base that's like not humble, even though they haven't done anything in almost 30 years. But if they were to win a Super Bowl, we wouldn't hear the end of that. Like, that wouldn't be fun for
we don't hear
anyone.
The end of them now.
And it's the
and
point.
And they don't win.
They were the 2-seed and lost to a 7-seed for the first time it's ever happened in the NFL since they expanded the playoffs a few years ago.
And that's why it wouldn't, like, I'm dreading the day they win a Super Bowl. Like, I'm very much dreading it because we wouldn't hear the end of it for the next 30 years.
What's the worst stadiums?
In the NFL?
No.
Or college? Troy, maybe.
No, let's stick with, like, Power 5.
Ones. Power 5, okay.
Like Vandy.
Vandy, yeah.
Absolute trash.
Vandy's awful.
Rutgers.
Boston College.
Is Rutgers a bad stadium? I don't actually know. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I don't imagine it being.
It is.
But yeah. Vandy plays great. Games while they're, like, construction. Like, there's construction trucks outside.
I've told
like,
the story many times in the past. In 2006, went down to see Florida play. I used to do that before my dad passed away. We'd go see them when they played in Lexington. We'd go see them when they played in Nashville. And I just don't have the heart for it. Since then, but the band, like, I was hearing a band play And your ears, you can kind of tell where mm-hmm. sound is coming from. It was coming from right in front of me, and that side of the stadium was empty. And it freaked me out. Like, what am I hearing? And it took me forever to realize, like, the Florida side was kind of full, and the band was on my side all the way down. And I was hearing it bounce off the empty side of Vandy Stadium.
Wow.
And that's what I was hearing. And it sounded like they were right across from me. They were all the way down at the other end of the stadium. But because awful. It was empty, the sound just bounced right off that side.
That is awful.
It's a terrible stadium. And look, they're going to do whatever they're going to do to it. It's going to suck. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And this is not going to be
Boston idea. College is trash.
Yeah. Oh, man, you been to that one?
Have
you
been there? No, just look at it.
It's easy. Just look at it.
Virginia, I can't imagine Virginia being maybe not a bad stadium, but a bad home field advantage.
They call it the grounds.
Yeah.
Cal.
You know who's actually trash, too? Miami.
Well, it's an NFL stadium, though.
Well, I'm saying, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the fact that they're not any good, nobody's ever there.
Sparse.
It's
weird.
It's not. Nobody's ever there. And, like, it's an NFL stadium. Which, honestly, if they were good, should play in their favor. Like, because it's only like 60,000 or, 50, whatever it is, instead of 80, 90, 100.
Northwestern's, but they're blowing that up to
they are.
Build and they got like new one on the water, like a spaceship on the water, whatever.
Exactly.
That'll look really nice.
Are there any of those?
Is Purdue or Indiana? Are they? Where's ranked?
Indiana. I was just there. I went to the season opener last year just on a whim because I didn't have the kids. So I drove up there because it was a Thursday night, I think.
I remember you going.
Remember that?
I remember you going, yeah.
I like their little stadium. I think it's great. It didn't bother me at all. I think it was fun.
Chickens. They're still chickens.
Chicken? What?
You talking about Indiana?
Yeah.
Yeah, just.
Oh, they are chickens. My bad. Yeah. I thought you said there are chickens.
No.
I didn't see any chickens.
No.
That's. It was South Carolina, but not Indiana.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I can't think of any more that are like stand out to me.
You said Cal. Like Stanford, I feel like, is also not a very. Because it's like academic based schools.
Remember Stephen Heron saying that they called it the library?
Yeah. Wake Forest has to be up there.
Wake Forest, not great.
He did say they called it the library. That is crazy to say about. Like
the library.
A once proud program, though. Like. C-Mac and Toby, Toby, those guys were like, when Harbaugh was there, it wasn't a library. Like, they were winning, and now, during his period, and even the early years of David Shaw, Andrew Luck, and he's like, it's the library. Wow, that's a hell of a thing to say about a college football stadium during college football season.
The library.
Syracuse is not. I don't have.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
No, don't do it. No, man. We'll lose you. Like if it gets out.
The journalism guys.
If it gets out in any way that you hinted that stadium isn't loud, you'll never hear the end of it.
Oh man,
they're probably mad they're not in the top 25.
I could totally say that. If Harbaugh was at Michigan, he's probably writing. Saying we need to be a top 10 stadium.
I'm sure.
Definitely.
Let's get to Bob in here. Bob, thanks for waiting, buddy. Welcome into the drive on Thunderbolt. What's up?
Well, hey, guys.
Hey, bud.
On the subject of stadiums, college stadiums, football stadiums, I went to two of the Louisville games against West Virginia. And that place was crazy. I mean, it was. Imagine into a crowd full of people with your wives, and the wives are being called whores and worse names by these West Virginia fans dressed in overalls and coonskin caps. And that really happened. And they were just unreal. And then when they came back to beat Louisville and Michael Bush's and Brian Brohm's year, the fans would go to U of L cars that had flags on them and rip the flags off and rip the license plates off. I mean, these guys were nuts. And I don't know if they're on the list, but they certainly be on the list of the most, I call them just a bunch of yahoo stickers. I mean, it was incredible. But anyway, that's my big memory on football stadiums. I'll never go to West. I don't even want to drive into West Virginia anymore. So you guys take care.
Appreciate it, Bob. Thank you. I have heard the horror stories about West Virginia. I do remember when it was 2011. like right after the sore, bitter kind of battle for who was going to get into the Big 12.
Yes.
And West Virginia won. That's when Louisville went and beat them there, and they did not take the cheerleaders. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Did not
that,
bring them. That's the Andrew Johnson blowing kisses at him year.
Mm-hmm.
One of the more satisfying wins ever.
Yes. Anytime beating West Virginia was always nice, especially like that era of West Virginia. Like, it was something about it because they used to beat us a lot, and they had some like dramatic wins, like the introduction of Pat White happened against us and stuff like that. So yeah, going up there and winning that.
It was funny how like some of those realignment things played out though, because like West Virginia got the Big 12 spot, Louisville goes and beats them. And then Louisville gets into the ACC and loses to UConn in 2012 in the miserable game where I thought Teddy was going to die.
Well, wasn't that the fake fair catch? Was that that
no,
one?
No, that was Cragthorpe.
Okay, I got
no,
you.
No, that was Cragthorpe.
I couldn't remember. But now I remember that one too. Yeah, the UConn. Try to erase some of these things from my mind. Like, I try to like just exit some of these things because.
The one I wish I could forget is the Blake Bortles UCF one. That was our 1 year in the American.
That's the one that I cannot watch any part of the, and it's a shame because it's so great. Like, I can't watch Clemson 2016. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
The UCF game in 2013, I can't do it.
No, anytime my team loses, I'm not rewatching that game. Like, I don't care how great.
I can't. If there's like a highlight on, I'm changing it.
Oh yeah, Super 42, immediately flipping the channel. I do not need to see the helmet catch.
I got you. Like I. The Clemson, though, it actually kind of makes me smile a little bit, even though it sucked and we should have won. I actually enjoy watching those highlights. The one that I can't watch, which it doesn't show up very often, but the Boston College game where the running back, he plays for the Packers now.
A.J. Dillon.
AJ oh,
Dillon
gosh.
Poor Chucky Williams.
Oh, my God. Chucky now Williams? That, yes, Chucky, yeah. Yes. I mean, that was disgusting. I mean, he just...
You know what's funny? You're not alone in that.
I hate that one so much. That's the one.
The longest post-game show I've ever done and taken the most calls on was after that game.
That was the most dejected
Boston College game.
And again, I don't go to a lot of football games. I try to go once a year at least. Most dejected I've seen at stadiums after that walk-off field goal. Was
I think we took like 50 calls.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. We went on 2.5, almost 3 hours, something like that. It was nuts.
It was awful because they had no business losing that game.
Right.
They just had no business. And just to allow, I mean, I felt like Boston College may have ran five plays. Like, it's just A.J. Dillon right, A.J. Dillon left, A.J. Dillon up the middle, toss, sweep, right, left, A.J. Like, it was like, he had like almost 300 yards rushing.
Boston College should thank us for getting A.J. Dillon and Zay Flowers drafted.
That is true. That is
like,
true.
Do like those guys get drafted if they don't go off against Louisville?
Or get drafted as high as they did? Because Zay Flowers just... completely embarrassed us too, catching passes on double teams and all kinds of stuff. Like, and then AJ Dillon just completely destroying the entire Louisville defense. Like, I can't watch anything from that AJ Dillon game.
To your point of the Clemson game, I could watch like the first three quarters, fourth quarter, not watching that highlight after that. Cause I'll see like, it was like, this is one of the best games in ACC history. And it truly was.
It was.
It doesn't make you feel any better.
I know it doesn't because you lost that game.
None.
So that day, the day that game was played, it was like a horrible night. I'm at a buddy's apartment, and this was like the apartments. I don't even know if they still do it this way, but like they would only have like two visitor spots, like way off in the corner or whatever. And then, you know, you think, oh, I can get away with it. It's only be for a little bit. No. So I watched that heartbreaking loss and then go outside and see my car's towed because I didn't park in the visitor spot. So now I'm out of $200. And I just watched my team lose. It was a horrible night. Just a god-awful night. Do not want to go back to that at all. Golly, it's awful.
There are some underrated places that aren't going to make that top 25, but like when things are good at that place, it's people dread playing there. I think I would put Louisville on that list.
Like, I agree.
I would put NC State on that list.
I agree with that.
I would put West Virginia on that list.
100%. Those are three teams, yes.
Arkansas, maybe.
Well, I think Arkansas. I know they're on there, but
like in the higher.
Yeah, yeah.
When they're good,
it's not bad. That's not, these type of lists are going to be, you know, slanted towards the SEC anyway.
Sure.
Like, just, I mean,
the stadiums are bigger, right?
Exactly, they're bigger and it means more.
Weather's always nice too, so you're not going to have to deal with like the frigid cold, like the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. And it means more, guys. It's the SEC, it means more.
All right, let's go ahead and take our last break here. And when we come back, we'll get back to the phones here and put a bow on this one here. On the Drive on Thunderville. Be right back.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
You're listening to The Drive, presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr. 81-50-93.9 if you want to get in here. Brian waited through the break, so I don't want to make him wait any longer. Brian, thanks for waiting. Welcome into The Drive, bud. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Love y'all, Chef. Y'all every day on the way home from work.
Thank you.
Y'all were talking about stadiums and games y'all can't stand.
Yeah.
How about the offsides game, William Gay down in up at Rutgers in, what was it, 03, yeah. I believe? That was...
Yeah, that's 06. That's the worst.
That was a heartbreaker. Mm. Not only did he miss the field goal, but then he comes back and then offsides, then he makes it and kills. I think we were ranked number 3 at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And had a lead.
Yes.
Yeah, that one hurt, but I just thought about that one, guys.
That's the one, yep.
Have a great one.
Thank you, Brian. Look, that's kind of the original one, and the worst part about that one is that it became like an iconic moment with like the field storming and all of that.
Yeah, well, for Rutgers. For Rutgers, yeah.
Like the Leitner shot.
Yeah, no, yeah. Cause, and what's even worse, so like they've never had anything ever else.
It was the last good thing they did.
Yeah, like after that.
They got in the Big Ten. That's it.
That's literally like they've never had anything else besides getting into the Big Ten to celebrate after that. So that's like their one shining moment. Leitner shot, all of that.
Well, they also had a bunch of guys that Belichick liked from Rutgers that won Super Bowl. So like that's their the McCourty twins, Logan Ryan, who won with the Bucks too.
Yeah, well, that's so, them as pros.
Yeah, but this
the,
like,
they're college program.
Yeah, they're going to retroactively, like, I mean, get it. If Teddy wins a Super Bowl, we're going to claim that here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Teddy's retired.
He's retired now. If he wins the state championship, we'll claim
it. Lamar's what I meant. I'm going to say Lamar. I don't know why, because we're thinking older, so I went with Teddy.
Okay.
I try to save that. I misspoke, and that shows.
You just messed up. It happens. Yeah. Now, I did, we talked like College World Series at the final, Tennessee wins. A&M's coach had been kind of a frequent College World Series participant like Louisville at TCU.
Yes.
And then took the A&M job, which not everybody loved. Like, in state, right, going from but you understood, like, hey, you're going to go to A&M.
You'll have everything.
Louisville played down there in the regional, lost down there. That place was nuts. Those people are annoying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they had the ball five chant. That's ridiculous. All that the bubbles.
And we know they have a war chest. Like you're gonna get paid if
that
you go
can launder
there.
Some money, right?
Absolutely,
no question about that. Probably like with money they forgot about.
Exactly, especially for baseball. Oh yeah,
no one's gonna even notice.
Exactly, right. Like $3 million or whatever it is.
So they lose in the championship series in the College World Series. So you're this close, and now it appears Texas just fired their baseball coach. They are putting the full court press on him, and it seems like, I mean, Kendall Rogers of Baseball America is saying basically like he was asked, you mentioned it. He was asked about it after the game and
last
got
night.
Real lathered up about it. He was not happy about it. He's like, I can't believe you're asking me about that and all that. And my first thought was, oh, he's going.
He's going.
Is that what you thought too?
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to respond like that if you aren't.
Yeah.
Like you got so defensive because you know somebody's working on your behalf to get the Texas deal done. So yeah, I was like, oh yeah, he's out of there. Hey, you don't act like that if you're not leaving. He's out of there.
Yeah, and also the reports like yesterday's like Tennessee's coach could be taking that job too. And They won the championship. I can't imagine. Like, if you win a championship, it's so hard to, you know, look at those guys like, peace out, I'm going somewhere else to try to win another championship there. Because you proved it can be done at Tennessee, though why would you not want to run it back?
And you were the number one seed, too. There's nothing above that. The number one seed winning the College World Series, the Tennessee guy's not going anywhere. And a program that you essentially kind of built.
It was like Dan Hurley. Like, Hurley was never leaving UConn for a college job.
No, I don't think so.
And he wasn't even leaving for the Lakers either, we know now.
Well, he would. The Lakers didn't want him. The Lakers wanted J.J. Redick. Like, you don't lowball the best basketball coach maybe in the world right now. Don't lowball him. He said it straight up on Levitard. Like, there was a number.
They
could have got me.
They weren't close, yeah. Yeah,
they could have got me out of, like.
How would you like to be this guy, though? Like, you've coached at TCU and A&M, and now you're going to go to Texas. Like,
In three years, he had
3 different schools. Yeah,
I think so.
He's been in for 3 years.
Okay, yeah.
But so, like, so at least, still,
so. Yeah,
in 5 years.
I bring it up if nothing else. Like, sometimes when there are rumors, like maybe a coach is going to leave or something, the fans can be like, "What's wrong? Like, what have we not done or something that a coach would leave?" And I think sometimes there isn't anything wrong. Like
when Char left for Texas.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but I think, like, in Texas A&M's case, like, what more can you do? You are insane. I'm sure they pour ridiculous resources into it. You just lost in the Game 3 of the College World Series by one run in the ninth, right? You're like, what else can we possibly? He's like, all right, I'm going to go to Texas now. You're like, what can we do?
It's nothing. It's
literally Notre Dame can't keep Brian Kelly, what can we do?
And even in that case, there's like, the Notre Dame, like, shtick, like, hard to get players into the school, whatever. You don't have that at A&M. Like, you have more money than pretty much everybody else.
And a willingness to be ridiculous about it.
Exactly. That's another thing. Like, you have more money than everybody else. You just lost, like you said, Game 3 of the College World Series. And this guy hasn't been there that long. You pried him out of TCU. And to get him, they're going to have to, I think his buyout is $3 million. So nothing you can do about that. They're willing to pay you $3 million for your baseball coach.
Texas is getting SEC money now. There it is. It's different.
Texas. The SEC is getting Texas money now.
But, you're not wrong.
Like, come on.
Oh, that first trip, if he does take the Texas job, if they play down in Texas A&M next year,
that'll be fun.
Oh, it's gonna be so hostile, and I'm all for it.
That'll be fun. The baseballs,
maybe
game,
the
hostile. I love
hire
it.
Kentucky's coach.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
Same.
Not at all. I would not be mad at that at all.
Now, what do you make? Because we are folks being asked or are asking about this. Like, just happened in the last couple of minutes. LeBron Hill, the wide receiver that was committed, just flipped his commitment to Purdue.
Yes.
Jeff, I think there is some consternation about how recruiting is going on the high school level for Louisville right now, with the expectations under Jeff Fromick. I think people thought high school recruiting would go better, the high school part, than it has up to this point. You think that's fair?
It's very fair, especially the way high school was going at the end of SAT. You have to add that caveat, because when at the end of SAT, you had, like, by the time SAT left, you had DeAndre Moore, 4-star wide receiver from California, Reuben Owens, 4-star running back from Texas, and Pierce Clarkson, all committed along with Jamari Johnson. So his high school recruiting looked like it was on the up and up, and people would say it's because of NIL and all that stuff, and hey, that's fine. I'll rock with it. But then with Brom, it doesn't look like that has continued. It's not that recruiting hasn't still been good. It's just been a different form and a different style of recruiting. More transfer portal heavy, less on the high school recruits. And for the high school recruits he does get, they're not ranked as high as the one SAT was getting. And so that's why I think some of that is kind of playing out. With this young man, he's from Indiana. I'm pretty sure he's from Indiana. Yeah. And on his commitment tweet, he just said, staying home. So it sounds like he was satisfied.
For 3 weeks and a day, he was committed to Louisville.
Yeah.
100% committed, right?
100%.
1,000%.
Right. 1,000%. You know, I love those.
Yeah, they love putting that 1,000%.
I'm always weary just because of the nature of the business, but don't lie and say I'm a 100,000% committed. I just say I'm committed. Or like that one, what was the kid earlier?
This'll do. Oh, I'm going to that particular school.
Yeah. So like, as of now, I'm committed here. It could change.
I
just want you guys to know that I don't respect his decision. And I don't care how nicely he asked me, I'm not going to.
I don't respect this my at all. Decision.
Nope.
I am curious to see how, because I've talked about this. I do think transfer portal always has to be a part of your repertoire, but high school recruiting does too. And I think high school recruiting will be more prevalent, even in football, moving forward as the sixth and seventh year guys are kind of are kind of matriculating out of collegiate football. I think this year is kind of going to be like one of the last years, if not maybe a few stragglers next year. But this year is like the big last hurrah for most of them. Because the teams that, like, if you want to continue to rise up the rankings as one of the upper echelon teams in college football, you're going to have a core of high school guys that are good and that are ranked high. Like, that's just had the nature of the beast. You're going to have your fair share transfer portal, too, and you're going to lose some of your high school guys to the portal. But I think high school recruiting still has to be part of the lifeblood of your program if you want to take that next step. Now, if you're content with being, you know, perennial 9 to 10 win team, okay. But if you want to say, hey, we want to compete in the college, you know, we want to win ACC championships, we want to compete in the college football playoff and for teams to take us serious when we get there, then your high school recruiting game will have to step up. It will have to take a step up.
Yeah, I wonder in particular about where they're recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Because the two most recent decommitments, Indiana and Ohio.
Yes.
And truthfully, we haven't done great in those states. Like, there've been the guy here or there. And I can understand Jeff like wanting to sort of cash in where he's been laying a lot of track while he was at Purdue. Like, you might as well, mm-hmm. right?
You know those people already.
Right.
The coaches.
But
the
I wonder how many, like, those guys grew up wanting to go to Purdue and.
Or playing the Big Ten.
Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Right. And, like, Louisville's. The vast majority, I think, of, like, its impact guys have been either local, Georgia and Florida.
Florida. Mm-hmm.
And there does seem to be, like, less of an emphasis there. Like, Satterfield and them, like, they never left Georgia.
Mm-mm. You're right.
And there does seem to be, like, less. There's less high school recruiting overall, period. Mm-hmm. But a bit less of an emphasis in those places. I do wonder about trying to cash in on kind of your old stomping grounds. Those guys don't want to come to Louisville.
Like, I get the Ohio State appeal because it's Ohio State. Like, I'm not naive there.
And the guys from Ohio.
Yeah, it's from Ohio. Mm-hmm. Purdue's a little different because, I mean, we hired Purdue's coach a couple years ago now. But, again, like Mark says, the kid's from Indiana. Maybe he grew up a Purdue fan from his family. His family's a legacy at Purdue. And he wants to honor that legacy. Who knows?
And he probably was going to Purdue before. I mean, Brom's probably been recruiting this kid for years, right? Like, I mean, he's probably been on top of one on his radar for years because he was the head coach at Purdue. And you lay that foundation, you were able to cash in on that years later in a commitment. But the whole time, the young man probably wanted to go to Purdue. And he had to see what the new coaching staff and stuff at Purdue was like. Got to know him, got on campus, got for a visit. It's like, this is where I always wanted to be anyway. You know, like, so I think that plays a part. And, I mean, once again, these aren't like five-star kids you're losing. Jake Cook, the lineman that chose Ohio State, he was a three-star that this summer, this camp circuit, has boosted him into that four-star range. And he got on Ohio State's radar like last week. You know what I mean? Like, and then 2 days later, he commits. So, like, that's kind of how that came about. This young man's allure is like a three-star, but once again, he probably always wanted to play at Purdue. Obviously, that's not a dream most people hear, but the people in Indiana, that may be a dream to want to play at Purdue. So I that's an interesting point you brought up, Mark, about laying his grant. Like he's cashing in on the relationships he already had.
Yeah.
A lot of those in Indiana, of course. A lot of those in Ohio. And it doesn't seem like that South Florida, particularly, pipeline is the same. That Georgia pipeline. And will they get back to more of that? Like, is it like a transition period? Because, yeah, they've a lot of these coaches have coached here and have played here, of course. But when they coached here and played here, it was different than what it is now. And they didn't have 6 years of history in Purdue or in Indiana. So, like, how do you recalibrate? And do you still want to continue to recruit California? That seemed to treat the end of the Satterfield era well. Is that a place you want to continue to go out? And can you still find success there, whether it's with the Clarksons or whoever? So it is interesting, but I do think that the high school part of recruiting will have to take a step up if you want to continue to rise up the ranks of college football.
Well, another thing I think we need to note is doesn't necessarily mean the recruiting battle is over. Like, he's flipped, he's verbal to Purdue or the kid is Ohio State. It's going to be an uphill battle, but we could still potentially get him to flip. It's not. I don't know how much Jeff's going to put energy into trying to get that happen.
That don't happen often, though.
Fair. But that, also,
the recommit?
Yeah.
Then I guess, you know, two or three years down the line when they enter the portal, if that happens, we can swoop in.
Now, that happens.
Yeah, you got to be a gracious loser.
Mm-hmm. Now, that definitely happens. And that's not to say
that you don't.
Yeah.
But,
Maybe he just talks to that party and wants, like you said, wants to play at Purdue and just 4-year player at Purdue and goes pro.
Maybe he likes math.
Yeah.
Engineering. Yeah, and the thing is, that's not to say you can't flip other people that want to, you know, kids from the South Florida area that have seen a ton of Florida guys have success at Louisville. Like, we've seen that too. I do think, though, this staff has put a extra large emphasis on portal, and we bear the fruits of that last year in a 10-win season. What does that look like moving forward? Can you continue to bring in 25 to 30 portal guys every year and consistently get 10, 11 wins year over year over year? Like, can you do that? Like, that is that's the case study we're going through right now.
That's what they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
I have been curious, like, is it because that's just how they want to do it? Mm. Because that seems to me like high risk, high reward.
Absolutely.
And it makes me wonder, like, if that's something that you can sustain every year.
Yeah.
Or, like, I think ideally you really would like high school guys that you are able to bring along, and you're just supplementing and sort of keeping the bottom from falling out in positions in the portal. I don't think anybody's going to succeed bringing in one-year guys, like 30 and 40 of them every offseason. Like, that's not going to work.
It's not.
And I don't think they're even necessarily doing that. But, I mean, I think the high school recruiting's got to get a little bit better. And I thought the quarterback and wide receiver recruiting out of high school would be better than it has been up to this point.
I agree with that. And that is
that
something
I expected.
No, that is something I agree with. Now, that's not to say these, because they've gotten two high school commitments since he's been here. Deuce Adams, which will be on campus if he's not on campus already, and Mason Mims, who they seem to really, really like. He continues to elevate up the rankings. So, like, as the years go by, that's why I was curious to ask him, Brian, about yesterday. Like, hey, do you guys plan to take a transfer every year? Like, are we going to have to learn a new quarterback every year? And he's like, I don't think so. Yeah. But we're always going to take quarterbacks. Like, we put an emphasis on high school guys and developing them and everything. I did expect a wide receiver recruit. Yeah. I thought they could get at least one big time, like 4-star wide receiver, maybe even a fringe 5-star on some rankings because of the style of play.
Yeah.
And the history.
Right. All these guys.
With those
in the
guys.
League, right?
Yeah. David Bell, Rondell Moore, Taywan Taylor. Like, that I thought could attract a day one high school guy can step in. That's the thing. Like, the elite high school
receivers. We're going to use you just like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the elite high school receivers, they transition well. Like, they get on the field early. The elite ones. Not everybody. But the elite ones, like they're saying a freshman could go up to Ohio State and start this year. Now, I'm not saying you got to be that guy. But, like, the elite guys, like, Rondell played right away.
Yeah.
Taywan played right away. David Bell played right away. I thought we, up until this point, would have at least one of those guys over these first 2 years, and it doesn't look like that. At least not as of yet. Not as of yet.
I wonder how much of it is the fact that, like, while it seemed like Sat sort of artificially, it's kind of a sugar high like that last year,
mm-hmm.
the previous several years was like a lot of sort of diamonds in the rough kinds of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they weren't killing it at all. And people were really kind of concerned about it. But, like, those groups, like, you set in motion kind of recruiting them years in advance.
Yeah.
And, like, Louisville sort of churning through these years where they weren't involved with a lot of these guys.
This is true.
Like, I think that's possible. I also don't. I don't know how much Jeff really loves the world of like agents and NIL and stuff.
I can't imagine that being a forte of his. So that's a good point.
I'm not saying he doesn't play ball.
Of
I'm
course, just saying, we know like, he does. Right. We know he does. Obviously, but right. But yeah, no, I can't. His personality, his demeanor, that doesn't seem like that's at the top of his list to talk to. And not just the agents, because the older guys have it,
yeah.
But like an 18-year-old's agent.
Yeah.
You think Jeff Brown wants to deal with an 18-year-old? I'd like to hear that phone call. Like, yeah, an 18-year-old's agent and his NIL demands, his NIL, like his, you know, to setting up his visit, not with mom and dad, but with, you know, Steve Smith of Jockstrap Sports Agency. Like, that's a good point you bring, Mark. I was like, I don't see him really wanting to play ball with that guy.
Like, he likes guys with an edge to him. You know, he likes Jeff does. He's talked about it. Like, the reason they like these transfers, these guys, they feel like they've got something to prove.
Mm-hmm. They're 1 year left.
Yeah.
Said that.
And look, like, if there was a coach that I would trust to more often than not do that well, you know, have maybe a little higher amount of turnover, but it be transfer oriented instead of it just being high school guys, it would be Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I trust him to overachieve almost no matter who's on the roster.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Just would like him to not have to.
Yeah, because what could you do if the roster is more talented? Like, what could you do if you have let's just call it a roster full of 4 stars? Like, because I see what you do with the diamonds in the roughs, the 3 stars, the transfers from the smaller schools. But what would it look like if you had, you know, a couple of Jairs or Lamars or something? You know what I mean? Like, some like higher rated, higher level type of players on the team with what you're able to do. What does that look like? Like, that's when we're getting into the elevation of the program. That's when we're getting into, okay, now when you're talking about the ACC and the top of the ACC, you always bring up Florida State and Clemson. You have to talk about Louisville because now they're recruiting like Florida State and Clemson. And I know their coach has the resume that shows with his players typically play better than whatever their ranking was. And that's where, like, and I think that's where the gap gets closed too. Like, if your recruiting ranking looks more like Florida State and Clemson's, then you're shrinking that gap because you're not having to overcome what's supposed to be
more
a talent.
A margin.
Yeah.
No question.
You're not trying to overcome that talent disparity that's supposed to be there.
The only other thing I would add, and I don't know that the portal really changes this at all. Do you remember a couple of years ago, David Hale did like a super deep dive on the relationship between recruiting and winning? And that most people think, like, you hire a coach and they come in and they just go bonkers with recruiting and then you start winning games. And he said, really, the way it, in for almost anybody, it goes just the opposite. And in the ACC's case, he actually used Clemson as an example. Like, they started to win and then went a little bit more and went a little bit more. And then the recruiting exploded. But they were winning first.
Okay.
But it takes a little bit of time, I think, to kind of lay that groundwork with winning. Like, we may not ever, if Jeff keeps doing what he's doing, like, I doubt we'll be having these conversations, say, 2 years from now.
I hope not. Right. I hope not. It'd be awesome. You get a couple of guys that, like, impact. Because that's what I love. I don't know about you guys. I love seeing, like, a freshman come in and kill it.
Absolutely.
And being like, oh, we get to have this guy for 3 years. Like, this guy has to play for us. Now he can and the transfer portal makes it a little weird now, but at a place like Louisville, you don't imagine losing a stud after a year or something. It's like, oh, man, like, we get to have this guy for 3 years at least. Because if he's that good, it's like, oh, this guy's going to be in the NFL. But at least we get him for 3 years. He gets to play for us and not for them, whoever them is. And that's, like, some of my favorite stuff to do.
Oh, yeah. It's always the guys like, that guy was in college forever. Like, yeah. Tavon Austin was like, he's in college forever. It's like, graduate already, please. We don't need you. Give us another year.
He was awesome.
He was awesome. He was. Did you guys see that thing with the Jets? They were like, who's your favorite highlight tape you ever seen? And, like, everybody said Tavon Austin.
His highlights were crazy. Oh, yeah.
His West Virginia highlights.
Yes.
I'm surprised his NFL career did not go, like, as you would expect a guy like that to go.
It's just because the NFL is, well, one, it's super tough, and it's really tough for small people. Like, Tyreek Hill is, like, the exception to the rule.
I have to tell, like, I am stunned that Tutu Atwell has, like, hung on and become like an integral part of the Rams.
Yeah. It took a while.
Absolutely. Right. He got hurt the whole first year. But like, I always thought Des Fitzpatrick would have a better pro career than Tutu.
Yes.
Because of the build.
Yes.
And in the building. I'm wrong.
Pedigree.
Totally wrong.
Yeah. The build, the size, and the pedigree. I mean, his dad being a coach.
Yep.
Like, he just seemed like he was the wide receiver for the league. Like, he's been underutilized here. Now, I 100% agree. I thought Dez was going to be the guy, and it didn't quite turn out that way.
He's in Pittsburgh now. I think he's going to be in training camp in Pittsburgh.
I hope so, man. I'm rooting for you, Dez.
I know. Mike Tomlin loves Louisville wide receivers. Always has.
This is true.
Eli Rogers.
He gave Eli a long leash. It was awesome.
He sure did.
He gave him a long leash.
All right. That is going to do it for us. You guys, be careful driving home. It looks pretty gross out there all of a sudden. But you've been listening to The Drive on 9th Avenue. See you.